Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 19th of November, recording at 9:45 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, later than usual. Apologies for that. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. Grim news in terms of stock markets, with the exception of China, which showed a decent gain, almost offsetting yesterday's upside, downside key day reversal. Actually, the declines in Asia were quite modest, but we had bigger declines in Europe, up to 5%, I see, for Sweden, nearly 5% in the UK. Wall Street took it on the chin here today, closing at the lows, 5% down on the Dow and over 6% on the S&P and NASDAQ. Those latter two indices have moved to new bear market lows, taking out the lows from the upside key day reversal that we saw last Thursday. And against that background, surging long-dated government bond prices up nearly 3 points on the long bond. And we had a choppy day. The volatility here really is persisting. For instance, we had a shakeout in the dollar, and then it recovered as Wall Street weakened. We had quite a bit of whippy activity in gold, which had rallied up to 7.62 and a bit when the dollar was weaker, but then fell right back down to 7.34. Most commodities are weak, although natural gas is an exception, up a couple of cents. Okay, well, what's going on here overall? Well, the message that's being hammered home is that this global deleveraging is still going on. And I think there's a psychological component here as well, because we've been saying for some time that the US dollar and the Japanese yen were good indicators as to the extent of global deleveraging. Now, I think that's become widely accepted generally. Others have obviously been saying it as well and observing it. And so we maybe in a situation where when people see the dollar strengthening and the yen strengthening, they go in and sell stock markets, anticipating that there is more global deleveraging on the way. Anyway, this global deleveraging is occurring around the world. It's Russian oligarchs who are getting blown out of their oil positions and their leveraged stock market positions. And it is Middle Eastern investors who had borrowed in low-yielding dollars and yen to speculate in Abu Dhabi's previous property boom. Heaven knows what else has been going on in terms of all this global leveraging in the carry trade, and that is still being unwound. Now, a blow for stock market sentiment that has been unfolding in the last few days is that these bank indices are quite weak once again. Now, that's been the case in Europe for a while, but we've got the U.S. bank indices breaking down as well. I have shown some relative charts in Comment of the Day. And, you know, I've mentioned it so many times before, as Owen, we regard bank indices as a lead indicator. And the bottom line in here is what we really need to see to turn bullish in these stock markets. And relevant digression here, we know that valuations are much improved. All the value investors, people like Jeremy Grantham, have been saying that this is an attractive level for stock markets. They're not throwing a wall of money at stock markets, but they're nibbling selectively, and they say that the curse of a value investor is to buy too soon and also to sell too soon. But the value investors are nibbling in here. many of the rest of us. Well, I consider myself a bit of a value investor, but I have learned the hard way that one really should pay close attention to what's taking place on the charts. I've known that for a long, long time, but ignore it from time to time, become enamored with the theme or whatever. But what we need to see on the charts is clear evidence of base formation development among global stock market indices. Now, there's scant evidence of that. What we do get is we get oversold conditions, we get extreme oversold conditions, we get some upward dynamics that check the declines, we get technical rallies, we get ranging periods that last for a few weeks, but then they've broken downwards again. And they, of course, remain in overall downward trends. There are a few exceptions. Vietnam has looked like it's been base building for some time. China looks like it may have commenced base building. It's certainly shown a loss of downward momentum and a downside failure in recent weeks. But, you know, there's not a whole lot else to point to. Not all stock markets are hitting new lows, as we saw with the S&P and the NASDAQ in here today. But we also know about the importance of the Wall Street leash effect. And Wall Street does, of course, remain the epicenter of global economic and financial risk, as I've mentioned, for a long time. And so people watch the news on Wall Street. They watch the shocking financial statistics coming out of Wall Street. And yes, Wall Street is one of the lower beta markets, so it hasn't fallen as much as many of the others, and the dollar's been strong due to the technicality of the unwinding of the carry trade and a certain amount of momentum buying. But the point is, if Wall Street resumes its overall downward trend, that leash will be pulling other stock markets south as well. And certainly sentiment has deteriorated recently with the weakness of these banks overall. So, really, in terms of those of us who have a reasonable cash position and are looking forward to investing that cash in stock markets, the message is today one doesn't need to be in a hurry, or if one is buying, that it should only be done on some sort of cost averaging basis with a little bit of nibbling. Fixed amounts, for instance, on a weekly or monthly basis. But there is also a clear case to be made for holding off, particularly if you already have some equities, as I do, for holding off and just watching and waiting, because this is an environment where we have a situation that no one has lived through previously, and really historically, there is not a precedent for this. What I'm talking about is there's no precedent for the debt mountain that has been built up. There's no precedent for the size of the carry trade positions that were built up. I think there probably isn't any precedent globally for the amount of leveraged speculation that involved. So it's certainly taken a long while to appreciate the extent of all of this, but the upshot of it all is if we have the classic cases for an overshoot. Now, overshoots tend to be something, now you see it and now you don't. And if markets start accelerating downwards again, I'm not saying they will, but that's a possibility, that is a risk. But if they did start accelerating downwards once again, then I think it might well pay to be nibbling. But the alternative, and this is what I've been doing and intend to continue doing, is to remain in cash and to just to watch and wait for technical evidence of improvement. And I haven't seen that, as I said, beyond the periodic oversold conditions that lead to the steadying for several weeks. So that's pretty much the background. Now, a point that we've had emails on this subject, and a point that I've often mentioned, I'm not a fan of long-dated government bonds. I don't think anybody who takes a fundamental view, a long-term fundamental view, is, because the yields are much too low relative to the supply that's out there, and also relative to the inflationary pressures that will emerge in the next upturn. So I would say that 10-year bonds, long-dated government bonds, are a lousy investment over that time period. But in the short term, because stock markets are so weak, and because fear is so high, fear of recession, fear of deflation is so high, these long-dated government bond markets are very much in form right now. So the danger trades that, if one says, well, just play the trends here, stock markets are still in downtrends, bond prices are still in uptrends, the dollar and the yen are still in uptrends. I don't think any of those trends are sustainable for all that long, but that's what we have today. That's the bottom line. What will be very, very important, of course, as, and I've often mentioned, is when we do see clear evidence that this dollar uptrend is capitulating. It's losing some of its consistency, which makes me feel that we have seen the best of the move by far for the dollar and the yen. And certainly, in terms of a trade, the low-hanging fruit has been more than picked. It's a risky time in those currencies, but they haven't broken down yet. And until they break down, there's still the prospect that they go higher first, before they eventually break down. When they do break down, I would expect an almighty commodity market rally. And some of these very depressed commodities, well, so many of them are very depressed. Most of them are. Natural gas is a classic example. I would expect them to rebound really quite strongly when the dollar does start coming off. I would also not be at all surprised if, when the dollar and the yen have clearly lost overall upward momentum beyond a pause, and are showing actual signs of establishing a new downtrend, I would not be at all surprised if stock markets don't enjoy a quite good rally against that background. But we don't have those conditions today. So in a wrap here, we still have weak commodities for the most part. We still have strong long-dated government bonds for the most part. We still have a firm dollar and a firm yen against most other currencies. And that's it. Interesting developments on China. I've been commenting on that almost every day. But there was a report out. There's been a report out for a while. I've only just caught up with it, and I have posted it, just talking about a big government plan. Again, China tends to sort of table these plans, and then sometimes something happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. But basically, what they were talking about is major intervention in the stock market were it to reach the level of 1500 on that Shanghai Composite Index, which is now back above the 2000 level. Sometimes just letting people know that you're thinking about doing something like that is enough to cause the short covering and some of the buying that that we have seen recently. China isn't going to go up on its own. So if we get Wall Street dragging a lot of other markets downwards, I would expect China to experience some additional pressure as well. But at the moment, it's one of the steadier performers. Meanwhile, I better wrap this up to so I can post it for you all. So I'll just conclude by saying all the best, and really, let's not try to take too many more additional risks in these markets until they appear justified. In my case, in my view, they're not today. All the best.